survivor steal Mary's urn. Chaos ensues in this comedy about friendship, loss, and living life to the fullest. Visit RacineTheater.org.
You're listening to Technology Matters, a show for the casual computer and gadget user that airs the second Saturday of every month. It's hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazzaro.
Good morning, everyone. First off, let me first say that my voice is a little ragged. I had the flu last week, just the season, right? And I'm still having a little holdover with some coughing and stuff like that. I will promise to try not to cough into your ear too much. I think I'm pretty good. So, second thing that I wanted to mention, anybody that's listened to me for a long time knows this time of year, beginning of the year, I usually recap the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, or CES, and I'm actually not going to do a whole heck of a lot of that today because, well, to be honest, the CES show this year was kind of boring. There wasn't a whole lot of exciting new things. And interestingly, the show was dominated by what we call the Internet of Things, or IoT, and more specifically, Alexa. Not so much that Amazon was there with their Echo, but lots of different Alexa-integrated devices. Again, I'm not going to spend any time on that, but it did dovetail into what I wanted to talk about today, which is really kind of an overarching theme, which is the smart home of today, specifically tackling a couple of different topics, like, for example, big one, privacy. Had some interesting discussions this week with some of my colleagues and students on privacy issues with Echo and Google Home and whatnot. So I want to just talk a little bit about that. And then the other thing that I wanted to talk about was making your home ready for all of these different smart devices, and not necessarily just smart devices, but factoring in all of the new devices we're adding into our home that need to have access to our network and or the internet. And how do you ensure that your home is ready for all of that? So that's what we're going to talk about. So first off, let's talk about the whole privacy issue with, you know, whether it's Echo or Google Home or whatever it might be. There was a news story about the murder in Arkansas and how the police there are wanting Amazon to, you know, release what the Amazon Echo may or may not have recorded. And now there's some up in armsness about, you know, these always listening devices. You know, there was another story about Samsung and their smart TVs and how Samsung said to people, yeah, we are listening to you, so you may not want to say anything in front of your smart TV that you wouldn't want anybody to hear. Is it a concern? You know, I guess it depends on your mindset. And first off, you know, don't anybody blast me that I'm not giving this the attention that it deserves, that, you know what, yes, there are privacy concerns. Don't anybody say, you know, you're awfully naive, Chris. No, I'm not naive. Way back when, I would get questions, does Microsoft know if I'm using pirated software, you know, if I'm running a Windows computer? Well, the truth of the matter is, you know, can Microsoft know about things like that? Well, yeah, they could. You know, they have access to your computer, right, to, you know, update things. Bottom line is companies have the capability of capturing all kinds of stuff. You know, if we use Google to search, can Google know what we're searching? Yeah, they can. Do we trust these companies that they won't abuse that ability? You know, again, it's kind of depends on you. It's a matter of trust or not. You know, everything that I say on this show, they're my opinions, right? They're not the opinions of the station. And there may be people that are far, far smarter than me that know better. There's just a certain point that, you know, Are we going to trade some of this for convenience? And that's kind of one of the things that we do. If we say, you know what, I want an Amazon Echo, then we're taking it into our hands to say, okay, I'm willing to give a little bit of this. There are a couple of things that you can do if you are concerned about that. The Amazon Echo, there is a button on there that will mute your microphone. So if you want, you know, leave your Amazon Echo muted until you want to use it. I'm sure that the Google Home has the same thing. I don't own a Google Home. I bought into the Amazon Echo Sphere, and I really like it, and I've done some kind of cool things with it. But I don't have my microphone muted. The other thing to do keep in mind with Amazon is Alexa doesn't or the Echo doesn't start recording what you say until you use that, you know, wake word, if you will, whether you've chosen to use Alexa or Echo or Amazon, they'll do all three. Until you use that wake word, it doesn't start really recording, and you have the ability to go in and delete any of those recordings using your Alexa app, whether you've installed it on a, you know, tablet or your computer or whatnot. There are some other things that you can do to control that. For example, the Echo supports buying. You know, you can say, Alexa, order me this or that. You can set a PIN so that you have to, you know, you can't have your kid going around ordering things without you knowing it, and you can disable it completely. Another thought that you know, if you want the convenience of being able to order using your Echo, use a shopping list and then go on your computer to finalize the order. Again, you know, it's kind of up to you if you want to have that concern or not. So, but again, it's that kind of convenience. Like I said, you know, whether you have those privacy concerns, whether they're real or not, somebody smarter than me is, you know, and maybe one of these days, you know, we'll have somebody come on who is a security expert and can talk to that. But we do have all of these voice-enabled smart devices now that are listening and could, in fact, you know, capture everything. You can, you know, put a piece of tape on your webcam because you're concerned that somebody's going to record it, and it does, in fact, happen, okay? So once we start connecting to the internet and we start, you know, doing all of these things, yes, privacy will be a concern. And yes, there is a need for our government to start putting some privacy laws in teeth, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as we start connecting and smarting our homes and doing this Internet of Things type of something. And that whole thing is a topic for another day. But again, so the next thing I wanted to talk about is, what do we do when we start adding all of these devices that want to access our network and our home? You know, it was one thing when we had one or two computers or one or two laptops, but look at all of the things we're adding now. We're adding we're adding smartphones. You know, any of you that have got kids that have got smartphones, they, you know, and then they bring their phones, you know, they bring their friends in that have phones, and then the first question everybody asks, what's the password to your Wi-Fi, you know? And then we add an Echo, we add our gaming systems, we add our smart TVs, our Blu-ray players, and pretty soon, I'm trying to do some work, accessing school or whatever it is, and the internet is really slow. Somebody's streaming a movie on one over here, and another one's streaming music over here, and somebody's playing a game over there. I can ask them all to get off, but is that really fair? I mean, it's my house. I can do whatever I want, right? Instead, I can look at doing some things to improve the overall service capability of my house. Some of the idea of talking about this was prompted by my sister. She called me. She also got an Echo, and she got a Fire TV, and she got an Echo Dot, to be more specific, and she said, you know, it cuts out every once in a while. so what can I do? And so we talked about what she had in her house, and she went ahead and she bought a new router, and we talked about the pros and cons and different qualities. So I want to talk about that for a little bit. So first thing I want to say is, if you're in that category where you've got all of these new devices and you're saying, oh my goodness, everything is really slow, check your router. When was the last time you added a new router to your house? If your router is 5 years old, 6 years old, that may be a good part of the culprit. And that's the thing about all of this is there's so many different parts and pieces that we need to look at. The first thing, and I tell my students, your network is only going to be as fast as the slowest component. So obviously the first thing is the internet itself, coming in, whether it's AT&T or Time Warner, Spectrum, whatever, the name is these days. That's obviously the first step, and we're limited by our internet service, whether we're on a lower tier, 15 meg, or we've got a faster tier, 50 meg. That's kind of the first little step. There is something that you can improve depending on if you have AT&T or Time Warner. If you have Time Warner, fortunately, you can go out and buy your own modem. So what might you want to look at in a modem? And even with, AT&T, talk to them about, the type of modem. There's a keyword that I want you to ask for or look for, and that's DOCSIS 3.0, DOCSIS, D-O-C-S-I-S 3.0. The reason that that's important is DOCSIS 3.0 supports multiple channels, and DOCSIS 3.0 conceivably can support up to 24 channels. I think it's 16 downstream and 8 up. Now, do keep in mind that this will not enable you to get more than you're paying for, but what this multiple channels will do for you, it's kind of like having a multi-lane highway. The speed, the posted speed limit is still 55 miles per hour or whatever it might be. But if you're trying to shove a bunch of cars on a two-lane highway versus an eight-lane highway, regardless, the speed is still 55, and we're all going to assume that we all drive the speed limit, okay? But if it's a two-lane highway and you've got a ton of cars on that two-lane highway, speed is going to slow down below the posted speed limit. But if you've got eight lanes, then there's a good chance that everybody can drive that posted speed limit. So that's the benefit of having these multiple channels. So look for a modem that supports this DOCSIS 3.0. And what that will do is it will help alleviate bottlenecks, coming off of your internet service provider. Okay, so we're still going to be limited by whatever speed we're coming off of the internet. So that's the first breakdown point, if you will, is that modem. Then the second one is obviously the router in your house, because whether the router is from your internet service provider or you've purchased one on your own, we can improve some things there. Because once the traffic comes into the house from the internet service provider, then we need to disperse it throughout the house to all of the devices that are asking for it. And your router can really improve things a lot. So a couple of things that you want to look for in a router. Number one is what the device can support. And if you're using one of the N routers, 802.11N, look for, even within N, there's some tiers of service, and you want to look for something like N750. The older Older devices, older routers can support only up to about 6 devices. Theoretically, yes, they can support more, but really it's, you know, like 6 devices. So think about how many devices you have in your house that are connecting to the internet simultaneously. This is a real key, is simultaneously. And if you count all of the smartphones, the gaming, smart TVs, etc., if you're starting to get into that 8 plus or that 10 plus, definitely it's time to add a new router. Yes, the better router that you look at, the more it's going to cost you. The other thing to consider is getting a router that supports dual or even tri-band. Dual band 2.4 gigahertz and 5, tri-band gets a little bit more. There are many devices that can't use that 5 gigahertz band. Your gaming consoles are still going to want that 2.4, but you can move your computers and your laptops to the 5, so then that will help if you're doing work. Let the gamers game on the 2.4, you can go to the 5 band. What that will do is it will help segregate some of the traffic, and especially if you're doing Wi-Fi, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about the 2.4 and the 5, is we're still talking about Wi-Fi versus wired. Obviously, if you can wire a device, in other words, if you can connect it to a cable, that will help tremendously, because now you're not competing for all of that, you know, Wi-Fi signal. You've got more of a dedicated, if you're wired, you've got more of a dedicated signal, and that will help help eliminate any interference. If you do have those 10 plus Wi-Fi devices, look for an AC, which is the newest Wi-Fi protocol out there. Look for an AC 1600. I've got a Nighthawk. I'm not recommending necessarily any specific devices, but you know, look for something that says AC 1600. AC 1200 will do 8 devices, but if you're, you know, 10 or more, look for AC 1600. The other thing that you want to look for in a Wi-Fi router is something that supports what's called beamforming. What beamforming does is a standard Wi-Fi router, when it sends out a signal, it kind of just broadcasts the signal. It's like using a shotgun versus a regular gun with a bullet. A shotgun kind of, you know, when you send it out, the pellets go everywhere, you know, kind of a disperse, and, you know, so yeah, okay, it'll hit something. Shotgun approach versus, you know, a pinpoint. Beamforming is kind of like aiming specifically to that device. So once it locks onto the device, it sends it directly to that device, even if it's a smartphone and you're walking around, it sort of kind of locks onto the device and sends it directly, as opposed to this, you know, wide broadcasting, and it can help get that signal specifically more to that device. So look for beamforming. The other thing that you can do to help improve, if you've got these multiple devices, is add an additional access point, okay? Not an extender. I'll talk about an extender in a second. But add an additional access point. What that additional access point does is it allows more devices to connect, because some of the devices will connect to one router and other devices will, you know, connect to that additional access point, and it just helps give that ability to have more devices connecting overall to your Wi-Fi network. Now, an extender is different in that what an extender can do is help increase the size of access. So if you've got a big house, you know, you've got, 2-3 floors, you've got a, you know, basement and a large house, you know, 2,500, 3,000 square feet. And what an extender does, think of it as kind of a repeater. It gets the signal from the Wi-Fi router, and then it repeats it, okay? It strengthens it and repeats it. An extender doesn't improve the ability to add more devices. What an extender does is it increases the overall reach of your Wi-Fi. So, for example, if you want to be able to connect outside, you might add an extender to, you know, if especially if your router is like down in the basement, you add an extender on a ground floor, putting it on an putting it in a room that is, you know, and on the back side of your house, and then that'll extend it, it'll add that reach, if you will, to reach the outside. Okay, so that's another way of improving that. There's another thing that you can do if you're, you know, technical savvy. You can actually go into the router settings. There's a thing called quality of service, or QoS, and what your QoS settings can do is optimize for a particular service, if you will. So for example, and okay, so now if you've got a household where, you know, one of you is a gamer and, you know, another one is using it for business, the gamer who's going to be probably more technical savvy is going to go into the router and optimize the gaming service. And that's basically what quality of service or QoS settings do, is it prioritizes the usage. So, you know, for, again, multimedia, you want to stream video, stream movies, you can optimize the QoS settings for that particular service or even a device. You can prioritize, this particular device has priority. So that's what your QoS settings can do for you. There are some devices that you might be connecting to, you know, the internet, for example, again, in that smart home sort of thing, like your light bulbs. Your light bulbs are not going to need to be sending a whole lot of data. Let's face it, streaming movies is going to be the part of the most data intensive, especially because when we're talking about a, you know, 2-hour movie, it's sending data for that 2 hours, big packets, as opposed to just, you know, sending a print job to a printer. That's going to be a shorter spurt. Yeah, it might be a lot of data, depending on the size of the print job that you're sending. It's going to be a lot of data, but it's going to be short. You're going to send that, you know, 10-page report. It's going to be over pretty quick. Whereas a 2-hour movie, you're getting that 2-hour movie continuously, not necessarily for the whole 2 hours, because there's a buffering kind of a thing wherever you're getting it from, whether it's Netflix or whatever. They're going to send, you know, a whole bunch of the movie right away. It's going to store in memory. And then as you watch, it's going to continue to send that movie, but it's going to be buffered in memory for a certain point too. You know, this is a whole idea of, you know, in the old days when we used to watch movie or listen to music, we would get interruptions because the buffering wasn't keeping up with the movie. We'd watch, you know, watch, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I got no more movie to, you know, show you because you used it all, so let's pause for a second while I give you some more movie. Now we're kind of, buffering has improved a lot, especially with internet speeds. And, you know, some of it does depend. Here's another thing to keep in mind is some of it's going to depend on the service you're getting that movie from, because if they're sending it slow, you're getting it slow. You can have, you know, great internet speed yourself, but if they're experiencing a lot of traffic and a lot of people are trying to watch the latest movie that Netflix just released, obviously, you know, it's like, you know, 10 people wanting to get the same thing, it's going to be a little bit slower. So keep these things in mind. Don't get frustrated. Don't blame, the one place, because there can be a lot of different points where these things can sort of start falling apart. Not just your internet service provider. It could be the service you're getting, whatever you're getting from, depending on, how many servers they've got feeding it. And believe it or not, Netflix, they're not just, the movies aren't coming from just one computer. They've got servers all over the world, and, they're going to try to optimize the traffic as much as possible. And it's even conceivable, believe it or not, that part of your movie might be coming from, Los Angeles, and another part of the movie is going to come here and there, because they're, it's kind of like when you order from Amazon, you might get, one thing you order, especially if you're ordering a lot, one thing may be coming from Memphis, another thing might be coming from Kenosha. They're going to give it to you wherever wherever they can get it to you the fastest and the quickest, depending on where it's at. But again, you can only control what you can control in your house. So let's try to optimize everything in your house. And the first thing that, you want to look at is your router. If you haven't added a new router in, 5-6 years, maybe take a look at that router and see what you can do. Look for something that's, going to, first off, count how many devices. And again, don't forget the smartphones, the, smart TV, the Blu-ray player, whatever it might be that you need. And we're adding a lot more and a lot more. Over the Christmas break, for Christmas, I got an Echo Dot. I already had the Echo, but I got an Echo Dot. And I also added a Logitech Harmony. I had talked about that on the December show, and it is very, very cool now. I can now say to my Echo Dot, Alexa, turn on the TV. Alexa, turn on CNN. And, I can control a whole lot of things now with my voice using my Logic Harmony. Well, the Logic Harmony has to connect to my network because it uses Wi-Fi to communicate to the Amazon. If you start adding a Nest thermostat or, some other type of a smart thermostat or smart bulbs or smart outlets, all of those are going to need to connect to your network. And this is going to add more pressure on your router. Now, do keep in mind, that's why I said simultaneously, they're only going to need to connect when they are getting a signal, whether it's, you're setting your thermostat remotely from home, which, is another thing. You may have added these things or may be wanting to add these things, not necessarily for voice control in the house, but you want your house nice and warm or nice and cool when you get home, so you're controlling it with your smartphone. At that moment, it's connecting. It's not necessarily going to be a thing of always connected. It sort of has to be always connected because it has to be listening to wake up when you send it, but it's not like it's sending any data, okay? So, count those devices that at any given moment will need to be connected simultaneously. And if you've got, lots of kids with smartphones and smart TVs that, everybody's home now on the weekend and they're all going to be using the internet, that's that simultaneous connected. And if you've got lots and lots of those devices, definitely look for a router that supports the newest Wi-Fi AC and a dual band, okay? So that's how to improve all of that connectivity in your house. Again, if there's something you specifically you want me to talk about, send an email to the station or to me at lazaroc@gtc.edu, and I'll be glad to talk about it. So Until next month, everybody have a wonderful weekend and a good month.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with host Christine Lazaro.
Do you know a high school senior who could benefit from tuition-free college? Gateway Technical College's Promise Program allows eligible 2017 high school grads to attend Gateway tuition-free. The deadline to apply is midnight February 1st, 2017. Go to gtc.edu/promise.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, four vigils and information sessions are being held in Racine County throughout the month to shine a light on the problem of human trafficking. To learn more, go online and visit racinecoalition.org.
Support for WGTD comes from Piasecki Althaus Funeral Home, informing you about the award-winning community-based care